Well, as I've already mentioned, this morning is our last session in the book of Daniel. Can you believe it? Our last message in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, as we know by now, divides into two parts. The first part is all about the stories, the historical narratives. And so in chapters 1 through 6, we learn six wonderful stories about Daniel and his friends. The last part of the book is all about the prophetic revelations, chapter 7 through 12, four prophetic revelations. Chapter 7 is the first. Chapter 8 is the second. Chapter 9 is the third. And the last one is chapters 10, 11, and 12. So we know by now that when Daniel wrote these words down, there were no chapter divisions. There were no verse notations. He just wrote the message, the revelation that God had given to him. So we need to do the same thing. We need to try to disregard chapter divisions, verse notations, and just go with the flow. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me for a final message to the book of Daniel. And in our English Bibles, we'll begin with chapter 10 and verse 1. This is where the final prophetic revelation begins. The introduction to everything that follows is the first verse. Verse 1 of Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that's 536 BC, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Daniel is now approximately 85 years old. He's at the end of the trail. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The war is in the future from Daniel's vantage point. From our vantage point, it's already taken place. This is the great war of Antiochus Epiphanes against the people of God in the days of this horrible desolation of abomination of desolation. The message was true. It concerned a great war. And the understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So chapter 10 is the prologue to the vision. Chapter 11 contains the vision itself. And when you come down with me to chapter 11 and verse 36, the vision continues. It's all about the king. It's all about the king who will exalt himself. Once again, this is Antiochus Epiphanes. The year is 175 BC. From Daniel's vantage point, it is future. From ours, of course, it is past. Now, as the king exalts himself and wages this great war, we now come to the conclusion of the revelation, which takes us to chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So ends the prophetic word given by the angel to the prophet Daniel. Now the angel, having addressed Daniel in this vision, turns directly to the prophet, and he says in verse 4, "But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge." Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, that would be the angelic messenger, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time." We have seen that numerical expression before. It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Verse 8, I heard, but I didn't understand. So I asked, "My Lord, What will the outcome of all this be? Verse 9, he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. How blessed are we who persevere to the end. As for you, go your way to the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Heavenly Father, how we rejoice that we have before us the inspired Word of God. And we praise you that all Scripture is inspired for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that we as servants of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How we would pray that this final word given by the angel to Daniel would encourage us and bless us and galvanize us to further action for the kingdom work of God this day. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If there is anything we have learned from the book of Daniel, it's that God rules the world. In the words of Daniel himself, the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. So reads Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. Such teaching ensures that he is in absolute control of all things and that no earthly or demonic power will ever thwart his purposes. No one knew this better than King David, who said, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever." So reads the last verse of Psalm 138. For Christians, this is one of the most comforting doctrines in the Word of God. It assures us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, which is Romans 8 and verse 28, which is the same assurance that God sent to Daniel and the Jewish exiles after the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So reads Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It was part of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to the exiles, including Daniel, when they had been ripped out of their promised land and taken into Babylon. These are words of hope, words of comfort, words of assurance. God is working in all things for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We can be confident, therefore, that suffering and affliction and problems and pain and difficulties are part of God's plan to accomplish His purposes for our lives. We ought never be surprised. Sometimes we're in shock and awe, what in the world's going on? But rest assured, God has a plan. He has a purpose, and He uses trials and tribulations and afflictions to bring about His good purposes for us. This theme resurfaces in the final verses of the book. This morning we're in verses 4 through 13 of Daniel chapter 12. The heavenly messenger has just explained what will happen to God's people in the future. That was the prophetic word beginning in chapter 11 and verse 2 through chapter 12 and verse 3. But Daniel won't have to worry about what he should do next. The Lord has a final word of instruction and a word of encouragement for him. And once again, the sovereignty of God is the centerpiece of these final prophetic words. This is the lens that we use to view everything that happens to us in our world. The lens is that God is in control. The lens is that He is sovereign. The lens is that nothing comes to us by chance. The lens is that He loves us and desires His very best for us. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Relax in Him. He knows what He is doing. There is a mystery, oftentimes, to providence, especially when afflictions come into our lives. But we learn to trust Him. God is working in all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. This is the great theme that wraps up our study of the book of Daniel. There are final words of instruction and encouragement to the servant of God. Remember, he came into the land of Babylon when he was a teenager, 15 years of age, let's say. 70 years later, he receives the final revelation. He has been faithful and true and trustworthy and committed and diligent. Why wouldn't the angel give him a final word of encouragement and instruction? And so we begin with part A in the message. It's all about the instruction to seal the scroll. Verse 4, once again, but you, Daniel, in light of everything that you have just seen, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Well, what in the world does this mean? Answer, the words of the scroll refer to the prophecies contained in this book. The point of the exhortation is that Daniel must preserve the revelation he has received until the time of the end. That's down to the day when its predictions would be fulfilled. Sam Storms explains why. When the time of fulfillment is at hand, their truths will be relevant and encouraging to those who are suffering. Of course they will be. Sinclair Ferguson offers a further word of explanation. These words that you are to seal up, they must be on record for God's people so that the events of the end will not take them by surprise. Later believers who are familiar with God's word will not only be equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:17, but also will be kept trusting the Lord and living stable lives, even in the troubles that precede the end. They may not have the details of God's planning, but they know that God has a plan and that He is faithfully fulfilling it. That's why I want you to seal up these words. Write them down. Hide them. Keep them safe so that others who follow you are going to be encouraged with the ways of the Lord. Next page, please. However, the last part of this verse depicts a contrast. While God's people know where to find this wisdom, many of those around them will go here and there to increase knowledge. The point is in vain. The point is that many people will gain knowledge, but not the knowledge of God's purposes as revealed in the book of Daniel. Years earlier, it was the prophet Amos who said, men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. So reads Amos chapter 8 and verse 12. Such is the case of all who reject God's word, but seek after the peace and comfort which only God is able to give. It simply cannot be done. You will never discover God's ways through Scientology. You will never discover His ways through astrology. You won't find His ways in the Book of Mormon. You won't find His ways in Kingdom Hall. You're certainly not going to find His ways in the gospel according to Peanuts. No, 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 no. We're grateful for Robert L. Short and his comic strips on the gospel according to Peanuts, but you are not going to find God's ways and God's purposes when trouble, tribulation, and real trial hits. The only way you're going to know God's ways is learning about the revelations that Daniel has received through all of these wonderful visions. These are time-tested truths. They're designed to get us through tribulation and trial and difficulty and persecution and suffering. That's why Daniel is to write them down and seal them up. Many, of course, will find truth elsewhere, but nobody will know God's ways, God's purposes, God's plans, apart from God's word, specifically the prophecies herein in the book of Daniel. This is amazing stuff, amazing stuff. Amen. Just think about how many people are struggling this day, never even knowing that Daniel is part of the word of God. They've never read the book of Daniel. And you wonder why they're struggling. You wonder why they're snapping and cracking, popping when the slightest bit of difficulty comes their way. No, says the angel to Daniel, I want you to write these words down. Keep them safe so that others can be encouraged in the days ahead. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad Daniel took that word to heart? Aren't you glad that before he passed the scene, he wrote down everything that had been revealed to him and it's been preserved in the Word of God, and here we are today. What year is this? 2026. All the way back from 536 BC. We have it preserved for us. It's for our benefit. All Scripture is inspired and profitable. Profitable for teaching and reproof and correcting and training in righteousness. Don't let anybody tell you that Daniel is irrelevant. He's not. He's vital to survival in this day and age. Now, from the instruction to seal the scroll, we move to the second part of the passage. It's the prediction of a time, times, and half a time. Aren't you excited? Oh, yes. What in the world is going on here? A time? A times and half a time, verses 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man dressed in linen, that's the heavenly messenger, back to chapter 10, 4 through 6, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Glory be to God. Let's try to picture the scene. Daniel suddenly sees two other figures standing on either side of the river. Why, that would be the Tigris River, going back to chapter 10 and verse 4, where the whole story begins in this final revelation. Daniel overhears one of these two heavenly figures question the heavenly messenger who's standing above the water. He overhears the question, how long will it be before these astonishing events are fulfilled? Well, that's the question Daniel himself and many others would like to ask. Of course, Daniel would like to ask that question. How long is this going to be? How long will it be before these astonishing events are fulfilled? What follows is one of the most awe-inspiring moments in the vision, perhaps in the entire book. The messenger raises both hands to heaven, as if taking a sacred oath, and guarantees in the name of the living God that all these things shall be for a time, times, and half a time. First question, what are these things? What are we talking about? What are these things, the astonishing events that will come to an end? What are we talking about? Answer, why, we're talking about the years of prophesied distress that will devastate the people of God during the brutal reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. We're going back to all of the events that Daniel has just seen in the vision, specifically chapter 11, 21 through 45. This is a horrible war that's unfolding. The abomination that causes desolation. Tens of thousands of Jewish people are being massacred. The temple is being desecrated. How long will it be before these astonishing events are fulfilled? That's the question. That's the years of prophesied distress. How long Will it be until this will come to an end? Second question. The angel says, not to worry. It'll only be for a time, times, and half a time. Really? Really? No problem. Shall we close with a word of benediction? No, no. How long is a time? Times and half a time. Answer. We've seen this numerical expression before. Yes, we have. Back to chapter 7 and verse 25. Here it represents the limited period of persecution under Antiochus IV. A time is doubled to times, then shortened to half a time. So you have 1 plus 2 plus 1 half equals 3.5 units of time, which is half of a complete period of distress, which would be 7 units of time. Not to worry, not to worry. This is going to be for a limited period of time. Time, times, and half a time. From 167 to 164 BC, approximately 3.5 years, Antiochus desecrated the temple and massacred thousands of Jews. Well, that's the designation. That's the time, times, and half a time. It's 1 plus 2 plus a half equals 3.5 years, approximately the time, 167 to 164, when Antiochus desecrated the temple and massacred tens of thousands of Jews. Daniel, relax. I'm in control. I bring things into your world. I take things out of your world. I have a plan. I have a purpose. Nothing is going to thwart that purpose or plan. And it's going to be for a limited period of time. 3.5 as opposed to 7. Last question. Why is this time frame significant? Well, I think we've already answered that. It confirms that God is in control of everything. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, that's by the power of darkness through Antiochus Epiphanes, all these things will be completed, meaning God will intervene. This adds to what the angel previously announced. The time of the end will still come at the appointed time. Nothing comes to us by chance. Nothing comes to us by fortune. Nothing comes to us by fate. Nothing is a coincidence. We do not believe in luck. We do not believe in good luck or bad luck. We do not believe in lucky people or unlucky people. We believe in providence. We believe that God has ordained all things for the good of those that love Him and who are called according to His purpose. We believe that there are no accidents. We believe that the events of today have been ordained by the living God before one of the days of our lives were ever written down in the book. That's the book of the entirety of our lives. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the wrap-up of the book of Daniel that's causing us once again to reflect upon the fact that God is in control. God causes all things to work together for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Therefore, we shouldn't be troubled by tribulations and difficulties because God is in control. He's working all things together for His good. Yes, there is a mystery. Yes, at times there is pain. Yes, in times there is a lot of confusion. But relax. 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 You are exactly where God wants you to be today. You are exactly where He wants you to be for His purposes. And all you need to do is live today by faith, trusting that He will be true to you today. Wake up tomorrow and do the same thing. Just do the same thing, day after day after day. Listen, the Christian life is not complicated. I didn't say not difficult. It is difficult, but it's not complicated. It's simple. one step at a time. Do you remember when we started teaching our kids how to walk? We just throw them out there and just say, just try your very best. We took them by the hand and we just let them take the first baby step. And then we rested. And then we let them take the next baby step. Well, that's the Christian life. One baby step at a time. How difficult is that? It's not difficult. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. Are you all with me? What have we done thus far? We looked at the final instruction to Daniel, verse 4. We looked at the prediction of a time, times, and half a time, knowing that God is in control of everything. Next part of the final word to Daniel is a further explanation that comes in verses 8 through 10. Top of the next page, please. Daniel says, I heard. Ooh, but I didn't understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Obviously, Daniel didn't understand the angel's response, verse 7, to his initial inquiry, verse 6. So he rephrased the question, verse 8. Imagine his response when he was commanded, go your way, verse 9. The specifics were not for Daniel to know. What he did need to know, however, was that the Lord's people will be purified and refined through these events, and those committed to destroy his people will harden their hearts even more. That's verse 10. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know, Daniel. Just trust me. That's all you need to know. The wicked, despite their worldly wisdom, will not understand God's ways and will continue to be wicked. The wise, however, will understand. The wise know that if God is for them, nothing ultimately can be against them. The assurance that God has a purpose and that he uses the sufferings of his people to fulfill that purpose is all we need to know to trust him fully. Such was the testimony of Job in one of his darkest hours. Job said, but if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I don't find him. When he's at work in the north, I don't see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. God has a purpose. God has a plan. His purpose is to grow us up, deepen us in the faith. Glory, and glory. Some of that purpose involves affliction and tribulation and trial. Relax. You may not know what God is doing in the moment. You may not see him to the north, to the east, to the south, or the west, but he is there. Just relax. Trust him. He knows the way that you take. And when he's done, time, times, and half a time, when he's done, I'll come forth like gold. Just relax. 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 Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Oh, good grief. That's the testimony of Job backing the teaching of the book. This is great stuff, isn't it? You got to admit, you can't make this stuff up. This is inspired from the word of the living God. The last word of the book of Daniel is the final word of encouragement, verses 11 through 13. The angel says to Daniel, listen, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, that's from 164 to 167 BC, there will be 1,200 1290 days. 1290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. As for you, go your way to the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Trust me. Relax. I know the beginning. I know the middle. I know the end. You're exactly where you need to be. Just trust me. Relax. And when you come to the end, the time of your allotted inheritance will be yours. So what in the world are we talking about here? Well, the 1290 days is a further calculation of the 3.5 years. That's how we read this text. The time of persecution will be for a time, times, and half a time. 1 plus 2 plus 1/2, 3.5 units of time, assumedly 3.5 years, which on a Jewish calendar is just about 1290 days. So far, so good. But what is the purpose of the extra 45 days? How come we go from 1290 to 1335? Are you ready for the answer? Nobody knows. Isn't that encouraging? Nobody knows. Don't sweat it. Nobody knows. One author has suggested that verses 11 and 12 could terminate with the Maccabees' victory, the temple rededication, Antiochus' death, the arrival of the news of his death, or the further events foreseen in 1145 to 12 and verse 3. Sure, that could extend it out to 45 additional days, but we don't really know that for sure. In any event, the point is that a blessing awaits for those who persevere, even after the time when the fulfillment of this prophecy has passed. That's the hope that the angel holds before Daniel and all who know and love the living God. For Daniel, and all who persevere to the end, the outcome of all these things remains certain. By living faithfully in this corrupt world, we, like Daniel, can be confident of the allotted inheritance that is stored up for us at the end of the days. Of course we can. Love the commentary found in our ESV study Bible notes at this point. This matches God's consistent pattern of working in this world, moving through suffering to glory and refining his people through trials and persecution, even to the point of martyrdom. There is no greater blessing than moving through suffering to glory. So we believe in persevering faith that gives us an enduring hope that leads to eternal glory. We trust him one day at a time, persevering to the end, so that when we reach the end of our days, the allotted inheritance will be ours. Everything is working toward a plan. Everything is working toward a purpose. All of the pieces will finally be put together when we get to glory. And in the meantime, we just trust him that he knows what he's doing with our lives. Last page, please. Daniel's story began when he was a teenager, uprooted from his homeland and transplanted into a strange and foreign land. His story ends on the banks of the Tigris River 70 years later. He lived his entire adult life in exile, yet he remained faithful to the end. He believed in a sovereign God. He had a consistent prayer life. He studied God's word and he believed what it said. He understood the nature of spiritual warfare. He sought to worship the living God in a pagan, polytheistic culture. He had insight into human history. He realized that God had a purpose for his life and he sought to fulfill it more than anything else. Daniel stood firm in the faith and dared to be different. Instead of bending like a reed swayed by the wind, Daniel stood like a tree planted by the streams of water, rooted in the Lord and resisted to the storms that raged about him. That's the beauty of studying Daniel. If we dare to be like Daniel, we will need to strengthen our spiritual backbones. Oh, yes, we will. We'll need a greater resolve to hold the line of biblical orthodoxy as opposed to catering to popular opinion or adjusting our convictions to whatever theological trend is emerging within the church. We will need a courageous commitment to the truths of Scripture that may, at times, expose us to ridicule and hurtful accusations. No matter what the cost, there are standards of truth that we must uphold and principles of conduct on which we must insist. Those standards and principles cannot be compromised or minimized for any reason or for any person, not for our mothers, not for our fathers, not for our daughters, not for our sons, not for our granddaughters, not for our grandsons, for nobody, for no reason. We have principles of conduct on which we must insist. We have glorious truths upon which we stand firm. No room for compromise. You let the nose of the camel come under the tent. It won't be long before it takes over the whole tent.
Amen.
The place for the ship is in the sea.
Amen.
But God help us if the sea comes into the ship. That's what's happened. That's what's happened in the church today. We've let the worldly wise men's seep into the pews of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the church is sinking. And the captain of the ship is no longer to be found. He's not there. He's gone. You won't find Christ in these places anymore today. We need a greater resolve.
Yes.
We need to strengthen our spiritual backbones. We need to stop worrying about what people are going to think about us. Don't worry about it. The wicked are always going to continue to be wicked. Don't worry about it. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to hurt their feelings or offend them. Stop! Don't compromise an inch. Apart from God's sovereign grace, they will never change. Their mission is to try to break you down. That's their mission. Stand firm.
Amen.
Dare to be a Daniel. Listen,
Amen.
When I was growing up in the Sunday school that met in the basement, that would be the unheated basement of our small church, I learned a song that reinforced this truth. I didn't know it at the time, but it was written by one of the associates of D.L. Moody, a powerful 19th century evangelist. We don't sing this song anymore, but the message of the chorus presents a challenge that is certainly needed today. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make him known. May God give us the grace to dare to be a Daniel. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the joy, for the privilege, for the blessing it has been to work our way through the revelations that you have given to your faithful servant, the prophet Daniel. How we thank you that he took this word to heart. How we thank you that he wrote these words down, that he sealed them up, that he hid them away, so that we today, in your providence, can learn so many hundreds of years later. Bless us. Encourage us through this study. Deepen our resolve and our commitment to be more like Daniel, to be resolved to stand up to whatever winds of change are swirling about us, to stand true to the Word of God. We'd ask, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of the living God would enable us to do just that as we continue to enjoy the communion of the saints and the ministry of the Word, the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, and everything else that is ours today. We thank you for these things and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.